so the kids around the world would enjoy them and also hear the gospel when they open that box with the information that's going to be inside. And so I've asked Greg Laurie, pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship, who's with us tonight. It's great to be in one room with two of the greatest evangelists alive today. And Greg and I are going to receive some of these gifts. Then I'm going to ask Greg to pray for all these gifts that have been collected. And then I'll introduce Franklin.
Good evening. I feel like a very small person behind this pulpit. Now, I'm actually a normally sized adult male, but I feel like I'm about 4 feet high right now. It's so sweet to see those kids bring up their boxes. This one actually is from, it's from Pastor Skip. That's interesting. But to me, it seemed inappropriate, Skip, that you give like a photograph of yourself. Skip gave his own turtle up for this special. So great, though, all you guys that did this, and we do appreciate it, and the efforts you put into collecting the toys and such for the boxes. And just know that each one will be given to a child that will really appreciate it. In many cases, it's the only present they'll receive, in some cases, ever in their lives, much less for Christmas. And the other thing that's so important is all of these gifts are given in the name of Jesus Christ. And often, that's what matters, right? And so we want to pray for each one because these are going to go to people all around the world. We don't know where they're going to go, but God knows which child is going to receive what box. And it's exciting to think about what's going to happen. You know, some of you wrote letters and enclosed them, and we've been doing this a number of years at our church. We've had the folks write back. And it's always exciting to get a response as well. So let's pray that the Lord would guide each one of these boxes as they go out now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all of these boxes that have been given to get your word out. And Lord, you've told us to let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And Lord, we don't want to just preach the gospel. We want to show your love in a tangible way. But it opens a door of opportunity for us And people are more open to hearing what we have to say because they have seen a tangible demonstration of our love. Would you bless each box that goes out? Bless each child, each family that it represents. And then, Lord, we pray that it will go to the right child out there and that your word will be proclaimed and that many young children, even families, would come to faith in Christ as a result. Thank you for this project, Lord. Thank you for an opportunity to participate in it. We ask your blessing on it and on these boxes now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. Well, this is the second year that we at this church have done this project. Last year we started out and introduced it to you. And this year, so many more of you got involved. So we have lots of presents that will go out and bless lots more kids. We started back in Albuquerque when Franklin just started this project. I don't know if we were the second or third year into it, but it's something that builds every year, and it's exciting to see the potential of just a single box. But enough of that. Franklin Graham's here tonight, and we're so thrilled that he is. Franklin is the president of Samaritan's Purse, as you know, as well as the Billy Graham organization. He's the chairman of that board. And Franklin preaches around the world. And there's a lot of places he could be, but Franklin has chosen to be here tonight. And one thing that we should, if we're going to give an applause, is the fact that he unashamedly, unswervingly preaches the gospel on any and every occasion. No matter who interviews him, no matter what question they ask him about, he makes a beeline to the cross. And for standing up for Christ, we applaud you. Thank you, Franklin, and welcome.
Thank you, Skip. Thank you, Skip and Greg. And it's good to be with you tonight. Saturday night, when I said, Skip, how long have you been doing Saturday nights? He said, well, this is our first one. I said, would you tell anybody to come? Are you sure somebody will show up? So it's great to see all of you here on a Saturday night. This is wonderful. I want to thank everyone who's prepared a box, especially the children. I just cannot tell you how important every box is. I have people ask me sometimes, they say, Franklin, what's the most important thing to put in the box? Is it a doll if it's for a girl, or maybe a soccer ball or something like that if it's for a guy? What is it? The most important thing to put in any of these boxes is our prayers. Now, I don't know about the theology of praying for a box, okay? But praying for the child who's going to get the box. And if we pray for every box, for the child who gets that box, this year we'll collect about, seven and a half, maybe 8 million boxes. And if you have 7.5, 8 million people praying for 7.5 to 8 million children around the world, you think God just might do something in a remarkable way? I think so. And every box is important. We ask, as you pack the box, Greg was making fun of Skip putting his picture in the box. We ask people to put your picture in the box. We want the child to see who gave the box. We ask you to put your address in there. We want the child, if they can, and not all of them can, but if they can, to write back. And we've seen that happen so many times. But prayer is the most important ingredient. And over the years, we've seen God work. One of the things that we try to do is to communicate the gospel to every child. We work through churches around the world, because people ask me, Frankie, you collect these boxes, how in the world do you distribute them? Well, we just don't go out around the world just handing out boxes to kids on street corners. We do it through the churches in every country that we, about 100 countries this year. And we have partners in those countries, and it's the Church of Jesus Christ. They take the box that you all have given, and then they'll put on a program at their church, and they'll invite kids from the neighborhood who have never been to church and invite them to come and give them a box, and they present the gospel. And for many of these kids, it's the first time anyone has ever given a gift in their life. They've never had a gift. A couple years ago in Albuquerque, I was preaching for Skip on this particular Sunday, and it was the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and between services, a young girl asked to see me, and so one of the pastors came back and asked permission to bring this girl back to Skip's office where we were waiting between services, and so I said, sure, I'll be glad to talk to her. And this young girl comes in, and she is nervous, and she's trembling a little bit, and she spoke with a very thick accent, kind of like that guy from Scotland, you know. But this girl was from Bosnia, and she said, Mr. Graham, she said, 7 years ago, she said, I was a refugee from Bosnia, and I was in a refugee camp in Croatia. And it was wintertime. And she said it was so bitterly cold. We were living in tents with no heat. And we hadn't bathed now for several months because it was so cold. She said our clothes smelled. Our bedding smelled. We smelled. And everything just had a stale, thick smell to it. And she said living in that refugee camp was so difficult. And we had heard that there were some people coming with gifts for children. And so we were excited, and we had heard about this for several weeks, and then we were beginning to get a little disappointed because we thought, well, it won't come, it won't happen. And finally, the day arrived when they said, the truck is here, and the gifts are here, and all of us kids, we ran, and sure enough, there were gifts. And then we were afraid that maybe there wouldn't be enough gifts for all of us, and maybe the truck would run out. But she said, everyone had a gift. And she said, I remember I was afraid to open my box. I just wanted the moment to last so long. I didn't want it to get over with so quickly. So she said, I took it back to my tent and I held it in my lap for the longest time. And she said, I remember when I opened the box, she said, I remember the smell. And she had a little nose and she kind of like that, her little nose kind of wrinkled up. And she said, I can still smell that box. Everything was clean. There was gloves. And I was so cold. There was a wool hat. It felt so warm and it smelled so clean. There was candy. There was a flashlight. She said, in the refugee camp at night, it was so dark. And now she said, I had a flashlight. And she went on and named the other items in the box. And she said, Mr. Graham, she said, I have immigrated now to the United States, my mother and my father, and we're living here in Albuquerque. And I'm a student at the university here in New Mexico. And I've got a job at Walmart. And I've packed my box. And would you? And then her little hands trembled. And she held out the box. And she said, Mr. Graham, would you take my box for me and give it to a girl that needs it like I needed it just a few years ago? And I took her box and I thanked her. And so, no, Mr. Graham, I thank you. And I thought, you know, isn't this just like God? Where here a few years ago she received a box and now she's in a position where she's able to give herself and to help another child. And we had another incident just a couple years ago where we were in an orphanage and we were giving out boxes. And there's this one little boy who was kind of despondent. He just didn't show any emotion at all. And they handed the box and he kind of slid the box back. He said, I don't want a box. Oh, you don't want a box. Why? I want parents. I don't want a box. And so the person who gave the box said, well, oh, it's kind of a tough one. We don't have any parents. But there's some people that love you very much, and they have sent this box, and it's for you. I don't want it. But don't you want to open it up and just kind of peek inside, just to see what might be inside? Okay. So they opened up the box and, you know, there's toys and there was candy and, he was grateful for that. But down at the very bottom of the box was a picture of the couple that had sent the box and an address. And the lady who presented the box to him said, you know, here's this beautiful couple that have sent this box who love you very much, who's praying for you. Why don't you write them and thank them for the box? I know they would appreciate that. He goes, okay. So he wrote them a little note. Several months later, and it took a long time for the mail to get there, they got this letter from this little kid who'd gotten the box, and they were so thrilled, so excited, they wrote him back. Well, he got the letter a few weeks later, and he wrote them back. And within a couple of months, this couple went over there to visit this boy. You see, they didn't have any children. And they'd been praying for some time about adopting a child, but didn't know where or how. And when they met this little boy, they adopted him. Now, you see, this is a God thing. This little boy wanted parents. He didn't want a box. Push the box back. But God had put the parents in that box. And that boy just about missed it. Every box is important. Every box. And when you pray, this may be the only opportunity that that child will ever have to hear the gospel. And as these boxes go, they go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't about putting a smile on a kid's face. There's going to be hundreds of thousands, millions of smiles. It's not about giving laughter. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about... This is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came out of heaven down to this earth for our sins. And when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, he came for one reason and for one purpose, and that was to take your sin and my sins to the cross. That was his reason for coming, to shed his blood for you and for me. And when he went to the cross, he died in your place. He died in my place and for every person on the face of this earth. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross and when he died on the cross, he was buried and he took our sins to the grave. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He's alive. He's in heaven. And he's coming back, I believe, soon. And this is why it's important that every box that we present the gospel to every child, because it may be the only opportunity that child ever has. They may never have another opportunity. Remember a year ago this past September, in Beslan in Russia. Remember the school in Russia that was attacked by the Muslim terrorist and killed all those hundreds of children? Well, on the 1st of September, this school was taken. 1,200 kids and staff were in that school. They were held for days. We had just been there a few months earlier with Operation Christmas Child. We had done a distribution there, given a box to every child in that school. And some of those kids had enrolled in a Bible study discipleship program that we offer. And we had at that time over 40 kids enrolled in a Bible study. And one little boy by the name of Arthur, on the 1st of September, the day that the school was taken over by these Muslim extremists, this little boy Arthur had just finished his eighth lesson. And he signed it, and he was late for school, and he told his mother that he had to finish this and put it in the mail that day. And as he folded up his little lesson, and he put it in the mail, and he left it with his mother, and he went to school, in his lesson, there's a question: have you ever received Jesus Christ? If so, when? And the little boy said, yes, I have received Christ. And he put that day's date down, September 1st, 2004. And he went off to school. And within a couple hours, that school had been taken over. And there were 40 kids enrolled in that school in our Bible study program. 26 of those 40 were held hostage, and out of that, there were four of the 26 that were killed, and Arthur was one of them. 4 days later, that boy was standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 4 days earlier, he had asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. Every box is important. Every box. These past 12 months, we have seen some of the worst disasters in recent history. Remember the 26th of December last year, the tsunami that hit in Southeast Asia or South Asia, right off the coast of Sumatra in Indonesia, Aceh province, where the epicenter was just off the coast. It moved the entire island of Sumatra about 90 feet. Huge earthquake. It brought a wall of water into a little town of Malabo, 90 feet. 90 feet. And when that wall of water came in, it took down buildings, it took down the houses, it took the cars and everything, and it took it about 3-4 miles inland. And then the water receded, and as it receded, it sucked out everything back out to sea, and another wave came. And now the buildings that had not been destroyed when the first wave came in, the second wave now had lumber, it had cars and refrigerator and people and animals, and all of this stuff just comes boiling in another wave, and it just pulverizes everything in its wake. And then that wave recedes and just sucks out everything back out to sea. And then a third wave came. And then we saw that that wave not only hit Aceh province, which happened to be the most radical Muslim province in all of Indonesia, where they're getting ready to bring in Sharia law, where Christians were not permitted from the outside world. If I had tried to go to Aceh province on the 26th of December, I would not have been permitted. The few churches that were there were persecuted. Christians had been killed, murdered. And this huge, big earthquake and tidal wave hit Sumatra. And then the wave didn't stop there, but it went across the ocean over to Phuket in Thailand and destroyed Phuket. And Phuket is, of course, Thailand is known for its beautiful beaches and beautiful hotels. But behind those beautiful beaches and beautiful hotels are the brothels, the sex shops, the striptease places, and men from around the world go to Thailand for one reason, and that's for the sex trade. And then the wave didn't stop there, but it went to India, Hindu, and then to Sri Lanka, Buddhist. And it brought destruction to wherever people lived along the coast. It just wiped out houses, it wiped out buildings, took out boats, destroyed lives, killed hundreds of thousands of people. And people ask, Franklin, you think that was God's judgment? Do you think it was God's judgment on Indonesia for its Islamic beliefs and for the way they had murdered and treated Christians? Do you think that that was God's judgment in Phuket when it went to and destroyed so much of that island and devastated that economy? And is that God destroying that part of the world for its wicked and its evilness? In Luke chapter 13, Jesus answers that question. Now there were some present, starting in verse 1, Luke 13. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish." Unless you repent, you too will perish. This past year, we saw the devastation along the Gulf Coast. down along Louisiana, Mississippi, and parts of Texas when Hurricane Katrina and Rita came in. Now, the Gulf Coast of Mississippi has casinos, and New Orleans has its casinos. New Orleans is known for voodoo, and it's known for Bourbon Street, and it's known for all of the evil and wicked parties that go on the Mardi Gras and all of this stuff. And people say, Franklin, do you think that was God's judgment on that part of the world? And when Jesus told, or when Jesus was told, now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifice. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Now, I'm going to do something tonight. I'm going to invite some of you. If you're here tonight and you have never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart and into your life, I'm going to invite you in just a moment to get up out of your seat and come stand right here in front of this platform. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer to confess your sins, to tell God you're sorry, to turn from your sin, to repent, and by faith receive Jesus Christ to come into your heart and into your life. But you're going to have to make that choice. If you're here tonight and you have the burden of sin, the guilt of sin in your life, and you'd like to be set free, and you'd like to leave this church tonight knowing that you're forgiven, ready to stand before a holy God, you prepare to come in just a moment. Talking about God's judgment. Was God responsible for the earthquake in Pakistan? Because Pakistan, many believe that's where Osama bin Laden is living. Up in those tribal areas where that earthquake took place, was that God's judgment? Was it His judgment in Phuket? Was it His judgment in India and Sri Lanka and all these places? You know, I don't know. I don't know. But if He's going to judge them, what's He going to do to us? What's He going to do to this country? For the way we have aborted babies and the way we have done so many evil, wicked things, what is He going to do to this country? But you see, I don't believe that was God's judgment. Just like He said right here in the Scripture about these Galileans that Pilate had murdered and mixed their blood in with their sacrifice and that tower that had fallen and killed those 18 people. Jesus said, no, it wasn't because they were worse sinners that they died such a tragic death. But He said, but unless you repent, and that's my question to you tonight, have you repented of your sins? Are you forgiven? And you say, well, Franklin, you know, what do you mean by sin? You know, what is this, Orange County still down here, or are you in some other county? You're all so far south down here, I don't know where you are. But, you know, this is the new day in which we're living. You know, the things have changed. But, you know, God has a standard. And if we break His standards, it's called sin. And the Bible says all of us have sinned and we've come short of God's glory. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, God will forgive you and cleanse you of all of your sin, but you've got to come to Him through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only one in all of history to pay the debt of sin. No one else has paid that debt. Muhammad didn't do it. Buddha certainly didn't do it. No other religion, no other person, no other religious person in all of history has come to this earth to take your sins. No one. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. God loved you that much that He sent Jesus Christ out of heaven to this earth on a rescue mission to save you. To save you. If you had been the only person to ever live, Jesus Christ would have come out of heaven down to this earth to save you. And you say, but Franklin, can I save myself? No, because we're sinners. And the wages of sin is death. The only way that the debt of sin can be paid is through the shedding of blood on the cross. And no one is able to atone for their own sin, the Bible says. There's nothing you can do to satisfy Almighty God. It's not by works that you're saved, but it's through grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. And you see, you're saved not by works, because if you could work for your salvation, you would brag about it, wouldn't you? You know, next time you're down at Starbucks and having that cup of coffee, you might just, well, let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you what it cost me to get saved. And we would brag about it. By grace are you saved, is through faith, not of works, lest you would boast. You would brag about it. Do you know Jesus Christ? I'm not saying, do you know him? Do you know him as your Lord and your Savior? Have you invited him to come into your heart? You see, every demon in hell knows Jesus Christ. They all know who he is. They know him and they tremble. But have you asked him to come into your heart? Have you repented? Have you turned from your sins? Are you living for him? Is he your Lord? Is he the master of your life? And if you died this day, tonight, that little boy Arthur, when he licked that envelope and gave that to his mother to mail in his eighth Bible study lesson, as he was going out the door, he was never coming back. 4 days later, the boy was killed by those Muslim extremists. But Arthur went immediately into the presence of Almighty God. If you died tonight, would God welcome you? You say, well, Franklin, I think so. You know, I've been pretty good. I really try. I enjoy Skip's preaching. He's a good preacher. And, you know, we gave a couple of shoeboxes this year. And, you know, we're trying to do the right things. It's been a struggle, but we're trying. We're pretty good people. I'm not talking about thinking you're saved. I'm asking, do you know it without any question, without any doubt? Are you sure? If you're not sure, you can be sure. But you see, you've got to come and you've got to be willing to confess your sins, ask God for his forgiveness, and by faith receive Christ into your heart, into your life, and be willing to turn from your sins. You say, Franklin, what do you mean by sin? Well, telling a lie is a sin. Every one of us have lied. Every one. But you see, God will forgive you and cleanse you. Stealing. Oh, I'm sure in a room this big, there's somebody who's stolen something at some time. And you've carried that guilt. I want you to know God will forgive you. That's right. Cleanse you. Pride is a sin. Coveting is a sin. God will forgive you. Murder is a sin. You say, well, Franklin, you know, doubt any murderers in here. Abortion. You know, I had a few years ago, I had a lady interviewing me, a nice person. And she had interviewed me on several occasions, and I really liked her a lot. Just a very kind, gentle lady. And sometimes these people who work for the national media can be pretty tough, a little ornery. But she wasn't like that at all. Very, very, very nice. And after a few minutes, or a few hours, I said, can I talk to you for a minute? And she put down her pen and her notepad, and I said, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you ever invited Christ to come into your heart, to live in your life, and let him clean up your life? She said, no, I haven't done that. I said, did you know that God loves you and that he sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth just for you? And that he will forgive you tonight of all of your sins if you're willing by faith just to invite Christ to come into your heart, into your life. I said, would you like to do that? And she looked at me for just a moment and she said, I really would like to do that. I said, will you bow and pray this prayer after me? She said, I will. And I was in a restaurant and I had other people at the table and they were down at the other end of the table, you know, talking, you know, carrying on a conversation. And they were just kind of oblivious to what we were talking about at the other end. And she bowed her head and she prayed to receive Christ by faith into her heart, into her life. And then after she prayed, she said, with tears streaming down her face, she said, Mr. Graham, I have to say something to you. She said, I have to confess something to you. I said, you don't have to confess anything to me. You just confess it to God and he's forgiven you. No. She said, please. She got very intense. I said, okay. She said, 20 years ago I had an abortion. And her lip quivered. She said, for 20 years I've wanted to know what happened to that child. I thought about what that child would have been. I thought about when it would have gone to the first grade. I thought about it when it would have graduated from high school. I thought about this year that that child might have finished university. Well, God, forgive me for what I did and the blood that's on my hands. She said, for 20 years, I've awakened with that and gone to bed every night with that on my mind. I said, God has forgiven you. He's forgiven you. She said, are you sure? I said, I promise you, He's forgiven you. You just ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, into your life. He's cleansed you. He's forgiven you. And with a kind of a sigh, and just she just closed her eyes and she began to thank Him. But you see, God will forgive you tonight. And He'll cleanse you of every sin. But the only way you can come to Him is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. Because He's the only one who's paid the debt of sin. And if we're willing to receive Him by faith into our hearts, into our lives, God will forgive us and cleanse us. But it's your choice. You see, He's a gentleman. He doesn't force His way into your life. You have to invite Him to come. And it's by faith. And if you're willing just by faith to believe Him and trust Him, God will forgive you. And you can leave this church tonight forgiven, cleansed, knowing that you'll be one day in heaven. Not because of any great thing you've done, it's simply by faith. Trusting in what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago when He died for your sins on the cross. And He went to the grave, and God raised His Son to life. He's not in the grave. He's not still hanging on the cross as some religions like to depict Him. He's not still there. That tomb is empty. He's alive and He's in heaven. The Bible teaches that He's coming back soon. And Skip's going to be going through the Bible at 30,000 feet. You know the saying? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You're going to learn so much. But my question to you this evening is, are you saved? Are you forgiven? Are you ready to stand before the King? Like that boy Arthur, are you prepared? If you're not, you can do that tonight. You can be sure, just like Arthur was. He was sure. He made up his mind. He made that commitment. He asked Christ to come into his heart, into his life, and he walked right out that door, right into the arms of the King. How about you? Are you prepared to stand before Him? If you're not sure, do it right now. Just get up out of your seat and come stand right here in front of this platform. And when you have come, we'll just have a word of prayer. And then you can go back to be with your friends. They won't leave you. I promise you, they'll stay right here, wait on you. But this is, you're not coming to Franklin Graham. I cannot save you. Okay? You're coming to God tonight through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. You've got to come to Him by faith. Just get up out of your seat and come stand, and we'll have a word of prayer. And when we have all come, we'll pray together, and then you can go back to be with your friends. But you come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Not coming to Franklin Graham. coming to faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him cleanse you. Experience His forgiveness and His love. You come. Anyone else?
Without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come.
This is Saturday night. We got plenty of time. Don't want to drag this out, but this is a holy moment. If your life is not right before Almighty God, you make sure it's right right now. You take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but Franklin, why do I have to come publicly? It's kind of embarrassing. I don't like to be in front of people like that. You see, every person Jesus called, He called publicly. And remember, Jesus died publicly for you. They stripped Him, they beat Him, they spat on Him, they cursed Him, they nailed Him to a tree. All of that was done publicly for your sins. It was your sins that took Him to the cross. Your sins. Will you take a public stand? Will you do that? Take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Let Him fill you. Let Him cleanse you. Do it right now.
Just as I am without one thing, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come.
Sure? Are you ready to stand before God? If you're not sure, do it right now. This will be the last verse. Anyone else? You come right now. Don't delay. Don't put this off. This is serious business. You're not coming to me. You're coming to God tonight through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Just do it right now. Come on. Last chance. Anyone else?
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come. I come.
I want to say a word to those of you that have come. By coming, you're saying to God, I'm a sinner. You say, well, Franklin, doesn't he know that? Yeah. He just wants to hear you say it, though. And by coming, you're saying to God, I'm sorry for my sins. And I want to turn from my sins. And I want to receive Christ by faith into my heart, into my life. And I want to experience his forgiveness and his cleansing. And I want to lead you right now in a prayer, okay? And I want you to repeat the prayer out loud after me. And remember, a prayer is just talking to God. And you know, he understands crazy accents like that guy from Scotland. like a boy like me from North Carolina, he understands that. And all you fine folks down here in California, he understands you perfectly well. But let's just talk to God right now, okay? Repeat it out loud after me, all right? Let's pray. Dear God, I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. I want to turn from my sins. Help me. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I want to invite him to come into my heart, to take control of my life from this day forward, forevermore. Amen. God bless you. Skip. Come on up here, Skip.
Welcome to God's family. Welcome to the family of God. These are people you've prayed for. These are people you've talked to. And tonight the Lord has answered your prayers as you have brought them. Thank you, Franklin. Thank you for sharing. And right over here, Richard has his Bible up in the air. All of you who have come forward, can you see Richard? We want to give each of you a Bible, explain what to do next in following Christ. So we have something prepared for you. If you would just follow Richard and our counselors right over here, we're going to just spend a couple moments with you and then let you go with your family and friends. So let's have everybody move this way, just for a couple moments. What an exciting night. And you know what? The weekend's just beginning. Tomorrow we have two more services at 9 o'clock and 11. Be there. God bless you guys. Let's worship as we close together.
Mercies flow from heaven, new mercies for the day.
It's our confession, Lord. We are weak.
So very weak.
So very weak.
Oh,
you are strong. And though we nothing more to lay at your feet, come to your feet and say, won't you help us?
Broken heart.
A broken heart and a contrite spirit, you have yet to deny.
Your heart of mercy.
Your heart of mercy beats with love stronger. Let the river flow, my spirit now, Lord, you cry. Let your mercies flow. Mercies for heaven, new mercies for today.
Oh, shower them down, Lord, as we pray.
Let your mercies for heaven, sweet mercies for heaven, new mercies for today.
Oh, shower them down, Lord, as we pray. Shower them down, Lord. Shower them down.
Let your mercies flow from heaven, sweet mercies flow from heaven, new mercies for today. Shower down the Lord as we pray. Let your mercies flow from heaven, sweet mercies flow from heaven, new mercies for today. Shower down the Lord as we pray.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. His mind. guard you. I will say of the Lord, I will say of my God, I trust. I will say of the Lord, He is my fortress. I will say of the Lord, I will say of my God, I trust. Might oh, gratefully sing His wonderful love. I shouldn't defend the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with grace. calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name.
Yes, he knows.